Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm Dave Custy, your host. Today, my guest is Dr. James A. McGowan. James A. McGowan, MD of Mercy Medical Center's Center for Interventional Pain Medicine, is a pain management specialist. Dr. McGowan brings expertise in interventional therapies for neck and back pain, including epidural steroid injections, nerve root blocks, radio frequency ablation, and spinal cord stimulation. Dr. McGowan is double board certified in pain medicine and anesthesiology. He earned his medical degree from the University of Virginia School of Medicine. He completed his fellowship in pain medicine and his anesthesiology residency at Harvard Medical School's Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Dr. McGowan completed his internship in internal medicine at the University of Virginia Hospital in Charlottesville. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Dr. McGowan.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a short bio in your own words.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, as you were saying, I have training in both anesthesiology as well as in pain medicine, which is a subset of anesthesiology. So I did my training up in Boston at a Harvard Medical School-affiliated hospital, Brigham and Women's Hospital. And following that, I moved to Baltimore here in the summer of 2011. And for the first 2 years I was down here, I worked to establish a pain management center at MedStar Franklin Square Medical Center. And I served as the medical director over there for 2 years before moving to Mercy Medical Center this past summer in August of 2013. And I've been down here now for the past few months.
Tell us a little bit about how do you get interested in pain management, especially?
Yeah, it was actually something I did not envision myself doing when I first went into medical school. It wasn't something I had set out to do. Basically, how it happened was that I enjoyed the anesthesiology rotation of medical school. We spend, you know, a little bit of time during medical school rotating through all the different areas of medicine, and one that I particularly enjoyed was anesthesia. And so I decided that was what I was going to pursue residency in. And then as I was going through the residency, I missed a little bit of the interpersonal interactions that come with seeing patients in an office setting, seeing patients, you know, more than just one time for a particular surgery, as is the case with anesthesiology. And so I decided I would sort of refocus myself back on an area of anesthesia that allowed me to have that interaction and that continuity with patients. And so I decided I would pursue pain medicine as a treatment specialty area. And I've really enjoyed the decision and very happy doing it.
Going on to a little bit about what is pain management.
Yeah, so it's a specialty that oftentimes comes from anesthesiology, although there's certainly other specialists that do it as well, including neurologists, physiatrists, also some psychiatrists will focus on pain medicine as well. And the idea behind it is that there is a large population of folks who have pain. And oftentimes that pain is not something that requires surgery, is not something that is responding to more, you know, conservative treatments, you know, over-the-counter things and brief courses of medications, and the pain becomes a more, you know, chronic and ongoing thing, or just a more severe condition. And so pain management specialists will step in and fill that void and offer some expertise in terms of how to manage pain on a chronic and ongoing basis, as well as how to manage pain that's particularly severe, even if it just happens to be going on for a short-term basis. And, you know, how we do that is usually a mix of different treatment avenues. There is some prescribing of various medications to alleviate pain. A big part of what we do, certainly down here at the Interventional Pain Center at Mercy, is interventional therapies. And what that tends to be is injections of steroids and sometimes implantations of certain devices into the body to help control pain in a way that doesn't require taking medications. And then the third way that we come at this is often through what we call kind of complementary techniques, including physical therapy, psychological support, acupuncture, chiropractors, and trying to line our patients up with those specialists as well to offer their opinions.
Walk us through how you have a patient and he or she's in pain. How do you interact with the other doctors in that?
Yeah.
How do you determine how much pain treatment you give them and what?
The first step is always trying to figure out exactly what the problem is. I mean, what is the underlying cause of this pain? Is it a patient who has a bad disc herniation in their lower back that's causing pain in the back, searing down into the leg? Or is this a patient who's had, a bad accident or injury in the past and has had, multiple surgeries and just is left with some long-term pain issues from that? So there are a number of different types of patients that present to us. And so the first step is trying to figure out exactly what is causing the pain. And then once you figure out where this pain is coming from, that's when you start breaking down into how best to go about treating it. And then that process really becomes very patient dependent. Some patients are, very opposed to doing anything that involves, injections or other procedures like that. They would much
high
prefer
pain threshold.
Yeah. They would much prefer to try some medications. Other people hate taking medications and would much prefer to try different interventional techniques or physical therapy or something on that realm. And so we will kind of lay out a certain number of options to patients and allow them to guide us in terms of what they're most comfortable with. And then, when it comes to interacting with other physicians, it tends to be the biggest part of our process when the things that we're doing, if they just don't seem to be working out well enough. And I'm kind of talking specifically about things like neck and back pain. That is the majority of patients that we see tend to have pain in the neck or in the back. And if we try a certain number of treatment options and things just don't seem to be improving, at that point we may talk about, would you like to go try chiropractic care, as a kind of an alternative treatment, or if the pain continues to be very severe and there's something that looks like it can be corrected surgically, then we will recommend seeing and consulting with a spinal surgeon to get their input on things.
You talked about neck and back pain as being the interventional therapies that you are mostly an expert in. Talk about the four that I mentioned. Epidural, steroid injections, nerve root blocks, radiofrequency ablation, and spinal cord stimulation in layman's terms.
Sure. Yeah. So like you said, it is the largest percentage of patients we see will have pain, chronic back or chronic neck pain. And so what an epidural injection does is what you're doing is trying to put a little bit of steroid into what's called the epidural space. The epidural space is a space just behind the spinal cord. It's a space where the nerves run through as they leave the spinal cord and then go out towards the rest of the body. In the low back, those nerves go down towards into the legs. If you're talking about the neck, those nerves go off into the arms and the shoulders. And by depositing some steroid around those nerves, the steroid acts as a very strong anti-inflammatory. Think of like a steroid cream, like cortisone cream that you rub on a rash. It takes irritation and inflammation and brings it down. The process is similar for nerves that are being irritated in the back or in the neck. And those nerves are usually being irritated by things like discs bulging out or disc herniations, as they're sometimes called. And if you can coat those nerves with a little bit of steroid, oftentimes it reduces that inflammatory response and hopefully in doing so reduces pain. The other things you mentioned, one is nerve root blocks. That's a very similar type of thing to the epidural. The idea is still that you're trying to get some steroid and some local anesthetic as well around a nerve that seems to be the main source of pain. Again, if you're talking in the low back, you're talking about a nerve that's probably running down the back of the leg. If you're talking about the neck, you're talking about a nerve that's running into the shoulders or arms. It's just a little bit more specific than an epidural injection because you're really targeting one specific nerve as opposed to kind of a more of a diffuse approach to a standard epidural injection. The third thing that you mentioned on that list was a radiofrequency ablation. That is done to treat, in layman's terms, arthritis of the back. Your back is a whole stack of bones, and all those bones meet up together and form joints that are very similar to things like your knee joint, your hip joint, or your shoulder joint, just on a much smaller scale. And those joints can develop arthritis over time in the exact same way that you develop arthritis anywhere else in your body. Mm-hmm. And what we find sometimes is that if we can do what's called a radiofrequency ablation, which means using a little bit of electricity run through a needle to destroy a very tiny nerve that provides sensation from those joints in the back, that sometimes you can eliminate, at least for a good length of time, pain that's coming from arthritis in the spine. And then the fourth and final thing that you asked me about was a spinal cord stimulator. And what that is it's a, that's something that actually gets implanted into the body. It is a little electrical device. It's like a wire. And the wire gets connected to a battery pack. And when it's turned on, there is a current that then runs through that wire. And what that does is it creates a sensation that most people describe as pleasant. It's like a vibration sensation type of thing. And the idea behind that, in kind of the most basic sense, is that your brain and your spinal cord can only process so much information at any one time. And if you can overload that system with a sensation that is pleasant or the very worst, neutral, then you will block out the brain's ability to process the pain signal coming from wherever it happens to be coming from. This is something we all kind of do very naturally. If you banged your elbow on a table, the first thing you would do would be to rub it. It's sort of that type of idea, that you're sort of creating a separate sensation to mask out a painful one. It's just done on a kind of a more directed approach, where we're using an electrical device implanted very close to the nerves on the spinal cord that are being affected. So that's the story behind the spinal cord stimulator.
Since you're a pain specialist, that you have to really know about other specialties too, back and pain and maybe neurology and all. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of overlap between knowing things about neurology, because we deal an awful lot with nerve anatomy and nerve function. There's also a good amount of overlap between what we do and what orthopedists do. I mean, we have to have kind of a good working knowledge of joints, tendons, how the inflammatory responses of those joints and things like that can contribute to pain. And then there's also a decent amount of overlap between what we do and what folks in the psychiatry and psychology realm do.
Right.
And I say that because there's an awful lot of connection between folks who have bad depression and issues such as that and chronic pain. And sometimes the depression seems to cause the pain. Sometimes being in pain for so very long causes somebody to become quite depressed. And so there is some overlap in that field as well.
In my limited experience in terms of knowing people that were in hospital and in pain, I did find that if people are taking so much medication, mm-hmm. to be able to give them the pain medication so it doesn't destroy other medications must be a pretty difficult. So I know with my parents who had, my father had three different cancers, you know, you'd have to make sure that they were having their pain taken care of, but also you didn't want to take away from the other medications that were helping them to recover.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think you're pointing out one of the biggest limitations to what we are able to do in the overall medical field right now, which is that there's really no pain reliever out there that doesn't have at least some sort of side effect. Most of them will cause, you know, drowsiness, they cause sedation and confusion in certain people. Other ones, even the ones that we think of as being kind of the safest and least likely to cause side effects, things like anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen or Tylenol, you know, those can cause significant issues with people's kidneys, with stomach bleeding. Tylenol can cause a lot of trouble with the liver if you take it at a high level for any sort of extended period of time. So yeah, there is sort of this balancing act that you have to perform. And, you know, when you come from an anesthesiology background, one of the things I oftentimes will tell patients is, well, you know, I can get anybody out of pain. It just involves, you know, putting you all the way under. You won't feel a thing, but you can't live like that. obviously. And so you kind of try to find this balance between the pain that somebody has and how to balance that out against the side effects that the medicines we're trying to treat the pain with cause. So yeah, it is sometimes a very tricky balance between those things.
I wasn't even considering the psychological aspects too, of how it affects the patient. And like you said earlier, that some of them don't want to take that much pain medicine, but then, you know, they're going to be in a lot of pain, and you have to be actually, you know, really get into what the patient wants and then add that to the mix too.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody is different. There is no one right way to treat pain, no one wrong way. You really have to get to know your patients, try to understand where they're coming from, what they're comfortable with, what they're not comfortable with, and everyone will end up kind of getting their own individually tailored treatment plan based upon those things.
Talk about the evolution of pain management in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's a relatively new field in general. I mean, they're really, you know, if you go back anything before the 1950s or 60s, pain medicine really didn't exist. I mean, pain was just seen as, well, pain is part of other disease processes, and it wasn't really until the late 1950s and early 1960s that people kind of started studying it as its own entity, as something that can exist even outside of other conditions, that pain itself can be a problem. So, you know, the specialty kind of went along, and we really did hit a major change in the last 10, 15 years or so, where this issue of chronic opiate use or chronic narcotics, and when I say opiates or narcotics, we talk about medications like Vicodin, oxycodone, Percocet, morphine. There's countless numbers of them out there. Those are some of the more common ones that people will know. For quite some time, the teaching was that those types of medications were really not appropriate for long-term use. We tended to use them mostly in patients who had just had injuries, you know, patients who had just had surgeries and were having pain, things that we assumed would get better over time. We also would use them for patients who were nearing the end of their life, patients with pain from bad cancers or from other disease processes. Those medications would be used to try to ease their suffering as they were approaching the end of life. Sometime in the kind of mid-80s range, we started seeing a trend towards prescribing that type of medication for folks with more chronic long-term problems, patients who were not at the end of their lives, but patients who had chronic pain, whether it be chronic back pain, chronic pain for any other number of reasons. And the spectrum of pain medicine shifted a little bit to accepting that as an acceptable treatment course, and the standard teaching was that you needed to be aggressive with pain medicine, and part of being aggressive was prescribing opiates as a treatment choice. And what we've sort of seen now over the last maybe 5 years or so is that this effort to treat pain with these types of medications has resulted in a number of different issues. The most visible, I suppose, and at least maybe the most tragic, being the high numbers of people who become addicted to these medications, and the fact that somewhere in the neighborhood of 17,000 people will die of prescription drug overdoses in this country on a yearly basis. So that's sort of the biggest change that we've seen, I think, over the last few years.
Pharmaceutical companies have entered into the picture.
You know, certainly pharmaceutical companies do excellent work, and they manufacture fantastic medications, and they have every right to market their products and to try to convince people to use them. There certainly is some suggestion, and you know, whether or not this is fact or not is certainly anybody's guess, but there's some suggestion that, you know, pharmaceutical companies did very aggressively market the use of newer formulations of opiate medications, things such as OxyContin and others, and really through their marketing power worked to convince doctors and patients alike that taking these medications was a good idea and an appropriate treatment course. And, you know, again, certainly not meaning at all to point fingers or place blame, but it's just a reality that that type of marketing can have an effect in terms of what patients expect and what doctors are pushed to prescribe.
It's a new area, and you're an expert in it, and so you should have some kind of feeling about what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, well, I think what we've seen is just like I said, over the past few years, a swinging of the pendulum. We've swung very far to the side of, you know, everyone should be prescribed this stuff, and it's okay, and don't worry about it. And then things now seem to be swinging backwards a little bit to the point where it's becoming very difficult for anyone to want to prescribe any of this stuff anymore. It's almost, there's a reaction backwards where now it's becoming more and more difficult. And what I think will probably happen, at least what I hope will happen over the next several months or several years, will be that we work to find more of a middle ground where we say that in terms of these medications, opiate medications, what we need to look at is who is appropriate to be on these things and who is not. And how can we monitor these people so that it is a safe process? And how can we, you know, basically take these medications that help some folks and really try to focus our efforts on helping those folks that are appropriate to be on these medications? And so, you know, what I hope will happen is that more research will be done to try to identify, you know, what types of patient populations do best on this type of medication and what types of patient populations do worst, so that we can direct our treatment a little bit more correctly. And I also hope that over the coming years, there will be a little bit more emphasis placed on treatment options that don't involve opiates, that as doctors work with our patients to try to identify areas where they can improve their lives in terms of pain control. And these are things like, you know, losing weight, exercising, stopping smoking, all these things really will help with chronic pain issues. And I also hope that we'll try to focus our efforts on more of the stuff that we do down here in the pain clinic. It's interventional options that, you know, don't result in sort of a lot of the long-term problems that come from opiate usage, and that we'll really work to try to explore all of those options fully, as opposed to just the knee-jerk reaction of, all right, you know, you have pain, we're going to start prescribing you opiates. And I think that's the change that we'll see, is that folks back away from these medications some and try to really focus on pursuing other treatment options first.
But even currently, you suggest other alternative options like physical and chiropractic therapy, massage, acupuncture. Talk a little bit about that, your relationship with those people that specialize in this field.
Yeah, even now, that's the main focus of our practice, my practice here at Mercy, is to try to explore some of these other treatment options that don't necessarily involve medications. The biggest part of that for us is doing interventional therapies, like we mentioned earlier, you know, injections, implantation of devices, certain things like that. But, you know, and also a very large component of what we do is try to work with patients to educate them about the multiple different ways you can treat pain that don't necessarily involve medications or procedures. I have a lot of conversations with patients about the benefits of certain types of exercises, both cardiovascular exercise as well as the proven benefits that come from doing certain things like yoga or Tai Chi, trying to get folks into that type of mindset where they're going to start moving more and dealing with the pain by increasing flexibility and increasing strength and trying that type of technique. There is certainly a role for chiropractors and acupuncturists, and I'm very quick to tell my patients that, hey, if you want to see one of these specialists, we have some names of folks that we work with, and we have the names of some folks that are very good at what they do, and they do have some success in treating pain with those methods. We will really do everything we can to try to keep folks as pain-free as possible, but also try to keep them away from, you know, these classes of medications that oftentimes do so much more harm than good.
It sounds very exciting because you really have to, sounds like you have to really be innovative about how you administer everything, and that you, including all the possibilities of help for people to do that. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I would just say, almost echo what you just said as sort of a closing thought, is just to let your listeners know that there are lots of different treatment options out there. You know, medication procedures, non-medication options. The list is long, and there's a lot of different avenues to explore. So I would just, you know, encourage those listeners to take a look at some of those things, and if you're having more pain than you feel like you can function with, to really start pursuing some of those options.
Give us some contact info.
Sure, yeah, you can. Yeah, we are down here at the Center for Interventional Pain Medicine at Mercy. Our phone number here is 410-332-9036. We have offices here at the downtown Mercy campus. We also, myself and my partner David Main, see patients in Lutherville, up in Reisterstown, as well as down in Glen Burnie. So we're all over.
Well, thank you, Dr. McGowan. Thanks for coming on Baltimore Internet Radio. I've been talking to James A. McGowan, MD, Pain Management Specialist for Mercy Medical Center's Center for Interventional Pain Medicine. This is Dave Custy, and you're listening to Baltimore Internet Radio.